The title for my sermonette today is entitled Lack and Limitation. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel, but this is a message about life, how we live it, and how we can make massive progress. We are in a race for our lives. And this race is singularly the most important thing in our lives. You know, we don't have any other chances except this one. Our race is now. Our race is singular in the sense that we are each responsible for how we race. We won't make it into the kingdom of God based on our spouse's efforts, our friend's efforts, or anyone else's efforts. Our race is against ourselves, this world, and Satan. We have enemies in unseen locations. They're setting traps and rigging the race with pitfalls and dangers. There are constant side paths that look real, but indeed, they are not. You know, there are times that we think we are doing what's right, and then those things turn out to be not right. The Bible states that the road is narrow and that there are few who find it. It's in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. And I want to touch on today the notion that we are here in this world. And it's easy to get caught up and to not see the greatness and the power and the will of God. It's easy to miss his blessings. It's easy to miss being grateful for all the small and the wonderful things that happen to us. You know, when we start to go down this path of not being grateful, the world grows darker and our hope dims. We all experience lack and limitation in our lives, even as Christians. And maybe even more so at times because of what we face. You know, we can experience it in many different ways. When we lack faith, we limit God. When we lack fully being engaged and on the track, we again limit God. You know, it is often said that limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. The problem is that lack and limitation exist in our lives only when we make room for it in our minds. Just trying to listen to make sure that Daniel's were in sync. What we input, we output. So we have to be careful what we want in this life. We get what we aim at. We reorient our lives in every way possible to strive for and accomplish that for which we want. Well, that's how goals and aspirations work. When we are looking elsewhere, that is, other than keeping our minds on the main goal of our entrance into the kingdom of God, then we will start to slip and we will start to slide. We will compromise, not necessarily because it's what we set out to do, it's just a matter of focus. And when we focus our minds on God, and we allow his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, then we will find that our minds become more and more balanced. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 27, Luke 9, verse 23 to 27, it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.'" Verse 25, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, for a long time, I wondered what it meant to lose one's life for Christ's sake. And the way I interpret it is that we have to be learning on a daily basis how to be, how to maintain, and how to grow as Christians. And again, it comes down to input and then output. It has to be an all-out want to change for something new. What we think about is what we become. Yeah, it sounds a little bit cliche, but think about it. Think about in your own lives. Do you not find this to be true? It takes laying aside our own thoughts, our own fears, and all the things that hold us back because of the darkness that we are each trying to get rid of. And brethren, there is a lot that can hold us back. A lot that can cause us not to push forward. But those are all lies. And Satan is the master of spinning them. They get woven into our thoughts and then our actions. And the only way to combat them is to realize who we are. We have to start deciding we don't want this anymore and start living in a way that is in complete opposition. We have to start facing those fears. We have to pray to God for help to overcome and to repent from those things which have been holding us back. We have to see the hope that we have, the hope of our calling. And we have to start linking everything back to this hope. It takes inward work. It takes being willing to shine light in dark corners, seeing what's inside of us, and then using the Spirit that we receive from God to clear out the fear and the self-doubt, and to clear out all negativity. It does take massive work to clear out our self-limitations and our lack. Whether it's a lack of faith or confidence or strength or self-belief or any other emotion that doesn't serve. God wouldn't have called each of us if he wasn't sure we could make it. If he wasn't sure that we had it within ourselves to make it, he would have not called us. So we have to realize that God expects us to be getting incrementally better, step by step. Now this compounds over time. Everything we do compounds. Whether we live our lives in lack and limitation in how we decide to live and in what we decide to avoid fixing and what we are afraid and are scared of, then we are living from a standpoint where we cannot be used by God. In fact, worse than this is that we incrementally start compounding negative interest. It doesn't matter what area of our lives we look at. We can all look in the mirror and know deep down where we are. But do we know where we can go? Do we know what power we each have? In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, Mark 6 and verse 5 and 6, says, "Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching." Then in Matthew 13 and verse 53 to 58, Same story, but from a little different standpoint. Matthew 13, verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And so they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, as people, we can observe the mighty works of God, and yet we can fail to understand and fully appreciate the mightiness of God. We limit God's involvement in our lives because of our own fears and our own doubts. These people rejected Christ. They heard his words, which were powerful, and yet they became offended. They would rather stick to their own dogma. So many oftentimes people limit themselves because they would rather stay stuck in whatever situation they find themselves in, rather than do the painful and the hard and scary work of looking inward and fixing the problems that lie within. And we can become distracted by anything. Again, it's what we are allowing to happen in our minds. The greatest moment, though, is when we realize that there is help. When we realize that there is more than lack and limitation. In fact, there's so much more that can give us encouragement and hope and strength. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, asks, receives, and who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Asking isn't a whim or a wish. We have to be serious about what we are asking for, what it is we want. And when we ask with a purpose and a goal in mind that is in line with God's ways, then we will receive an answer, even if that answer is no. When we ask, we have to have faith that God is there listening to us. Just read a couple scriptures for you. In Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21, 22 says, "Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Jeremiah 29, 13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." 1 John 3 and verse 22. "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight." In 1 John 5 and verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So what is it that we want in this life, brethren? What is it that we want to accomplish? There is so much potential in each of us. And that's why God has called us. That's why we're here today. Because of the potential that he has placed in each of us. When we realize this, and we believe it, and start to put it to the test, our growth and our ability to shine in this world as bright lights for God's way will become insurmountable. We are told that we are to be those lights. So ask, brethren. Ask and see what happens. ask in faith. Ask repeatedly. Now, the Bible is full of stories about those who repeatedly asked. And we see that those are the ones who received an answer, one way or the other. So, just ask.